We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, Knicks fans? Hopefully by now you've heard about T-Squared Social, your new home for Knicks Film School watch parties. The next one on Sunday, April 28th for Game 4 of the Knicks' first round series against the Sixers. Founded by Tiger Woods and Justin Timberlake, this place has everything for a sports fan. Watch the entire Knicks, Rangers, and Islanders playoff runs or other sporting events like the Red Hot Mets and Yankees or other NBA playoff games. T-Squared also wants you to know that even when KFS isn't there, you could still join them to watch all Knicks playoff games from a private viewing area that features the largest screen in New York City, or reserve a table, grab a drink, and order a delicious meal while surrounded by their several dozen TV screens. Take this Thursday, for example. The Knicks play Game 3, the Yankees play the Athletics, the Islanders play the Hurricanes, and it's the NFL Draft. If you're a Knicks fan but also want to multitask, T-Squared will make sure you don't miss a meaningful minute of the action. T-Squared Social, your number one place to watch the next big Knicks game. Get a free draft beer when you tell them Knicks Film School sent you. Visit tsquaredsocial.com for more information.
Jalen, wow, this thing went back and forth and back and forth tonight. You found yourselves down to start the fourth quarter. What did it take to get it done in the fourth?
Deuce McBride.
But also Josh with that big time three to seal this thing. Four made threes tonight. What did you see from him in terms of all of the second efforts and the hustle?
I mean, I got the best teammates ever, man. I mean, they do this stuff night in and night out. So nothing surprises us. And I mean, he just played big time tonight.
Not only was Deuce phenomenal for the bench, but you got a big time effort from your entire bench. Mitch's best game back, coming back from the injury. What did you see from your big man tonight?
I mean, they came in and played hard. They did what they were supposed to do. You got to give them a lot of credit. That's a good team over there. This isn't close to being over. We got to keep fighting. We can't be complacent. And I'm just happy to come with the win today.
Jalen, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
What do we got? Are we doing the Jeremy dance? Oh my God! Oh shit! It's Andrew Claudio or Jalen Brunson. I can't tell which one.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. First things first.
Our drive.
Second things second.
What's
Knicks in five?
Oh my goodness.
Third things third, fuck Philly. How about all that losing that you did for 5 years? It's got you to yet more losing. And shout out. I wanted to do this especially for you, John, because you got a bottle coming your way as well.
I'm so shout
I'm to my
very
cousin,
excited about that. Yeah.
As a commemoration for the great year we had here at Knicks Film School, he sent me two bottles of these. One of these is yours. You know, I don't indulge in this life, but I had a fun night at T-Squared Social, so I may decide to have a little fun myself tonight. So, stop doubting Josh Hart. Stop doubting my head coach. Stop doubting my basketball team. Philly, get them up out of here. Embiid, you fucked around and found out. Okay? This is not the dunk contest. My man, I hope you're okay, by the way, because I would love for this sweep to not have any conditions on it. Okay? Can I actually give you like seriousistic analysis for a second? Because I watch
a
little
bit. Did you say the word seriousistic?
Yeah, serious Nick.
analysis for a second.
Oh, I thought you like combined serious and realistic, in which case I was about to give you so many props. But serious Nick
pretend
and Al.
I did. Pretend sure. I did. How's that? Pretend I did, John.
Love it.
So we got midway through the fourth quarter, and I turned to XJ, and I was like, this feels like playoff Randall, game one. And not in the sense that Jalen was playing as bad because he was doing other things well.
He was doing
But nothing. Because the other team had game plan to stop one person, this very much felt like it did against Atlanta. That
sure.
they've figured out we got to cut the head off of this snake and yep. game plan against him. And Jalen was both playing bad and like Nurse was had a good game plan. The difference is we got some dogs on this team now. Like Randall shot 7 of 20, 6 for 24 that night. And Brunson obviously shot 8 for 26. And it felt like midway through the fourth quarter of that game was so important because you were going to stand back at it for the rest of the series. Like, oh, we gave away that game one for both teams. Which is why, John, because of Joel Embiid's status at the moment, I actually think this is a devastating loss for the Sixers. And after tuning in to the likes of Ricky Sanchez, they feel the exact same way. Because if they steal this one, then they can sit Embiid game two. Now you've got an injured Embiid who did not want to talk to the media tonight. Like that, I think that's why he came back and barely like showed the max effort we saw in the first 15 minutes when a buddy of mine texted me that the series was over. Like, after that, it was like, oh, like
who texted him and texted
a buddy, It's in the super chats too. Don't worry, it'll come up later. Point
that
being,
that person should have their fandom revoked,
or they're just a reactionary fan. They saw Joel Embiid like that and forget how long a 7-game series is.
They had their fandom revoked, and you know what else I could say? They don't care about winning.
Oh, they definitely don't care about winning. No, we got to get them some media training. I'll tell you that much. Point is, now the Sixers are in the hole with an injured Embiid. Game one is 48 hours from now, and they're stuck. They either need him to regain superhuman form, stuck.
I agree this loss was going to be devastating for whoever lost it. Much more devastating than a normal game one would normally be. And with the caveat that game one dictates what are the current, I haven't looked up the current numbers, but it's something like 65 or 70% of series winners. It's a lot. It's a big number. And I just tweeted out earlier today, last season, 12 out of the 15 teams that won game one went on to win their playoff series. And I think one of those should have an asterisk because the Clippers won game one with Kawhi and then Kawhi went out injured. So really you could, it's like throw that out. Game one is massive. I agree with that. The Sixers should be devastated. The thing I keep going back and forth on in my head is whether the Knicks would be, forget about what they would be, but like they should have been in this alternate universe more devastated if they lost game one than the Sixers are devastated that they lost game one. And I that's what I was, the point I was trying to make a few minutes ago, where I think I came out about even. I think both teams should have been equally devastated if they lost this game. It was a big win. That's all there is to it.
If the Sixers steal this game and Embiid can sit game two, you've stolen home court advantage, and then you don't have another game until Thursday.
Am I allowed to not doubt that guy? I mean,
doubt those first 5 minutes, John. He has not historically survived playoff series, and now he's playing against a team that gives a damn. That second half, they went at him. What were his points in the second half? It was free throws. Those were his points in the second half. It was free throws. There was no.
You're right.
They're a bad rebounding team, and they just like 23 offensive rebounds. This is Cavs part two.
No. That part of it was insane. I completely agree with you that he was not the same player in the second half, and yet they still were intimidated by him on the defensive end. Anyone who was like,
listen,
wearing a cape.
Josh Hart is a revelation. He is a hero in this city forever. Can he recognize how he scored two of his points tonight and it was going at Joel Embiid and not run away whenever he sees Joel Embiid at the basket? I could hear Tibbs from where I am yelling at Josh Hart in the film now.
Yeah, like, of course. But like, him, but this, you know? But that's Josh Hart. That's why Josh Hart is, to a lot of people, a maddening player.
Yes.
The one
was maddening tonight, but he also hit the three biggest shots of the season, it felt like.
I mean, well, three of the top 10 for sure. I just want to say, in terms of that Hawks game one, Randall was awful. They didn't have Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey. They did have Trae Young, who I'm looking it up right now, 32 and 10 and seven rebounds, actually, on 23 shots. So Trae Young played not an all-time game, but like a really, really, really good playoff game. They only got one other guy who really showed up for them, but it was enough. It was Bogdan, not Bogdan.
Yes.
Bogdan. I always call Bogdan. Bogdanovich. And then as far as the Knicks, that was the Alec Burks game. Derrick Rose was also very good. Not incredible. 17 points on 16 shots. And then RJ was like the third. Probably he was the third best Nick. He had 14, but on 15 looks. So like the Knicks tonight got more slash better performances from the supporting cast around Brunson. They did not have to deal with quite the same level of, Trey by himself plus Bogey was not as good as Maxey and Embiid tonight. I did not think so. Like this, and they won. They won the game.
Let me clarify. I'm not specifically saying they're one-to-one comps in like...
No, but they're good comps.
Specifically talking to the Brunson performance, that it's very much the team was going to have to pick up our best player, and this one-man hero is having a bad game. Now, the beauty of what Jalen Brunson has done this season is he's earned so much credibility with this franchise and with this fan base, there's not going to be a single bad word said about Jalen Brunson.
Oh, no. Nobody has said a bad word about it tonight, especially because it's like at no point in time, for me, reasonable minds could differ. For me, I don't think he put up a bad shot tonight.
Yeah, I thought he put up a couple. That third quarter, there was that one stretch where he put three shots up in a row that felt like him trying to force it to try to find it.
And yet...
Now, for him... They might all be good shots. You might be misunderstanding. Yeah.
Thing is, they're not bad shots for him. Here we go.
Yeah, I got it underneath here. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like if that's what the defense, it's all about what the defense gives you, and that was what the defense was giving them at that point. And if the defense gives you that shot, and you're Jalen Brunson, you kind of need to take that shot. Otherwise, the whole infrastructure of the offense falls apart. So. That's why I don't like, that's the difference between him and Julius. And I don't know if Julius got there in game one of Atlanta, but he eventually got there where he was just put up shots. No, that's not where it's at, Julius.
Yeah.
Regardless, we could stop talking about the Atlanta series.
We can. Different series. My point is, like, to your point, they won this game and we got this W and we've taken control of the series. Their best player is on one leg. He didn't speak to the media. I'm wondering what we're going to get from a health report. If that's the version of Embiid we're getting the rest of the series, I'm significantly more confident.
I'm not.
Seven. I'm not. I'm right there with you. Respect the opponent. Respect the MVP. Respect Tyrese Maxey. Respect Nick. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. This was a huge win in the Mecca. Shout out to everybody that came to T-Squared Social. Shout out to Josh Hart. My goodness, Deuce McBride. And... Yes. Apparently, the early grave we dug for Mitchell Robinson was just unnecessary because he reminded everybody that he single-handedly won a playoff series last year against a team with the second best net rating. Shout out to Kevin as well. Kev Words, who held the fort down. Kev, shake your head yes or no. Do you want to come up and say anything or are you good? He's good. Okay. Go follow Kev Words. He did we've given him his flowers in the past.
Say his Twitter handle.
I'm looking for it. Hold on. I believe it's just Kev Words. Kev Words Wise, right? What is it? Okay, Kev, this is so much easier. Put it in the chat and I'll read it. That works. All right. Shout out to Kev for holding down the fort. We're going to have fun for the remainder of this. And not that you've already haven't been having fun. And partially because Jonathan Macri.
You're not, you don't do that. Did you really just drink that?
Yes, I did. We're going to have some fun tonight, John Macri.
Oh, my God. Andrew's gonna get drunk.
His Twitter handle is at Kev Words, by the way. Giddy up.
Woo! This is the most inebriated Andrew's ever been, and then I've seen him.
Yes. The Knicks get you in some type of way, John Macri. Especially
I'm gonna actually I need
also let's go Mets. Yeah. How about that? Their season is we got some trends going. Since something happened where everybody declared something over. Yeah, look how it's happened since. The Mets are 12-3 since everybody said their season was over.
If you keep talking baseball, Busy's not going to send in any more super chats. So we got
to get away from that.
thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Kev. And thank you, Sam Wesley's dad, with our latest super chat here. Our superstars teammates have his back, and they got him this game. Among the notables, Deuce, Mitch, and Hart. And one or two three-pointers by Bogey were huge. All of the threes from Bogey were huge. All the threes from the Knicks were huge. Like, how about this? The Knicks tonight, again, 16 of 35 from three. That may not sound like a lot, but I have a funny feeling that the Knicks have not had a ton of games in their playoff history where they have had a more 3-point field goals than they did tonight. And if I think I have filibustered for long enough. Yes, I have. So tonight the Knicks hit 16 threes. And again, they hit 45.7% on those threes in their history, their playoff history, which again, 3-point shots did not used to be the level that they are at now. They have had exactly one game in their entire playoff history where they hit more than 16 threes. And that was back, believe it or not, in 1996, when they beat the Cleveland Cavaliers 106-83, and they made 17 threes. That was a first round game. They also hit 16 threes against Miami in last year's postseason. That was game two. So in game two of last year's playoffs, Knicks 16 of 40 from three. They hit 40% from three. Tonight, 16 of 35. So 45.7% from three. So you can actually say this was the second greatest 3-point shooting performance in Knick playoff history. Again, the 3-point shot has come a long way. Maybe not a lot of contenders, but still. Notable. Thanks, Ray. Hush Zoo, I'm convinced Mitch intentionally played the way he did when he came back. Either that or he's a big game player. Cavs series, Mitch is here. Let's fucking go. Let's go Knicks. I think he was just working his way back. Keep in mind, he just had 5 days off. Probably helped. Had 5 days off and also played 7 minutes in the last game of the season. So really, Mitchell Robinson has played 7 minutes of basketball in the last 7 days. That may have had something to do with it. Thanks, Ash. What's up, Knicks fans? You know, the other day I was talking to two girls who were telling me how into foreplay they are and how they wish they had more single guys to do it with. No, not that foreplay. We're not looking to get teed up on the pod. I'm talking F-O-U-R-P-L-A-Y foreplay. It's an app where single friends team up and double date other single friends. It's a more fun, lower pressure, and safer way to meet new people, which is exactly why single girls love it. In fact, they love it so much that they make up the majority of teams on the app, as in a 3-to-1 ratio in your favor. Back when I was single, I would have definitely loved this. Look, we all know everything is better with a friend. Just ask Josh and Jalen, even if Brunson won't admit it. And with foreplay, you don't have to sacrifice bromance for romance, because it's a chance to enjoy a night out with a buddy while meeting two new people in a more social environment without any expectation. And the icing on the cake, it's totally free. All right, it's game time. So head over to the App Store now and download foreplay, F-O-U-R-P-L-A-Y, and get ready for a little 2-on-2 pickup. Ryan Shepard. What's going on, Ryan? Incredibly gutty performance from Deuce and Mitch. Josh Curry. I see what you did there. Taking us home just like they drew it up. Unfucking real. How wild was this, man? How wild was this game? When Josh took those threes, I was like flabbergasted. And then when he made that one, and again, we're talking about a guy who didn't sit in the second half. How many play again? I wish Basketball References Stathead tool had the ability for me to look up how many players in NBA playoff history didn't sit an entire fourth quarter, went perfect 3-3 from three, didn't sit the entire second half, played over 40 minutes in the game, went a perfect 3-3 from three in the fourth quarter, and shot whatever the hell Josh Hart shot from three this year. I would be willing to wager a goodly sum of money that's not a long list. It's just improbable stuff. Thank you, Ryan. Oh, my goodness. Very generous contribution from Gregory Alcala. I hope I got that right. Jesus Christ. That's a good way to start a super chat tonight. Can we give Mitch the keys to the city? This win with a bad Brunson game was huge. Deuce is giving us what I thought IQ would give us a year ago, and he also guards Maxi better than OG. We needed this one badly. Take it one at a time. Do we need it badly? Yes. I'm inclined to say, as Denver beats the Lakers, I think the win meant more to the Knicks than it did to the Sixers, if for no other reason than that they were at home. So for all the gobbledygook I was saying before about this have been a bigger deal with Knicks, Sixers, Knicks were at home. Knicks were at home. They had to win this game. So yes, we needed this one badly. Did Deuce guard Maxi better than OG? Really what you're asking is who has the better screen navigation? Because anytime either one of those guys was on Maxi, the Sixers would screen. I think the deceiving part here is that whenever Embiid whenever Embiid screened, OG would just willingly switch because they're comfortable with that switch. But you know what? Guess who else switched onto Embiid a few times in the second half there? It was Deuce. And the Knicks would at some point in time send the double. Although there were a couple of times where Embiid gave it up and then he'd get it back. I don't think it felt like the Sixers were doing a better job of exploiting those switches when it was OG switching off. I would have to go back and really rewatch all the possessions. Without rewatching anything. If you're asking me who defended Deuce better or who defended Maxi better, Deuce or OG, I'll say Deuce. So I agree with you there. But I do think it's interesting. I really want to go back and just rewatch all those possessions because those possessions are the key to the series for as long as Embiid is a part of the series. Deuce giving us what I thought quickly would give us a year ago. Yeah, I think a lot of people counted on quickly coming up big and it didn't happen for him. So, yeah, it's no shade. It sometimes takes guys a while in the playoffs. And yes, give Mitch all the keys that he wants. Hannibal Miles, what's going on, Hannibal? It's been amazing watching Deuce's growth. Nick's got a steal of a contract. 3 years, $13 million. 3 years, $13 million. And if he had become a free agent this offseason, again, as I said before, is an argument that some team would have given him an average of $13 million per season. It has been amazing to watch his growth, and it's just a testament to his work ethic. And it's a testament not only to his work ethic, but credit to the organization, credit to their draft people for identifying him. And if you want to even go a step further, we've talked all season long about how this team deserves credit for, if you're going to commit to this coach, and obviously I'm biased, but I think they should commit to this coach. If you're going to commit to this coach, give the coach like the old Bill Parcells line. You want me to cook the meal? Let me shop for the ingredients. Well, they're not letting Tibbs quote unquote shop for the ingredients, but give him the ingredients that he requests. And when they drafted Deuce McBride, it's been reported that Tibbs wanted Deuce, that Tibbs loved Deuce, that what he heard about him, what he saw from him. And I also think it also is like, I don't think that there's any question at this point that Deuce is a Tibbs guy. Through and through, Tibbs guy. And yet, he didn't play him a lot early on. And I think it just speaks to the fact that development does not always occur in the way that we might want it to occur. And this, the Knicks, I think, probably knew what they had on their hands with this kid. Believed in him. The coach believed in him. And yet, he didn't play. Is that the right way to do it? Is that the wrong way to do it? I don't know. That's for smarter people than me to determine, but I do know what we're seeing now is pretty good. And so it feels like whatever they did, it worked well enough. Thanks, Hannibal. Dan Hidalgo with another one. Bet they don't leave Hart that opening game too. I'm actually going to push back. I think they will. I think they're going to stick with the game plan. I think they're going to play the odds. I think they're going to look at his shooting. I think they're going to say there's absolutely zero chance Josh Hart goes 4-for-8 from three in game two. I think they're going to, I wouldn't be surprised if they left him more open. Because again, it's their best chance. I think it's their best chance. Brando, Embiid going to have nightmares about Mitch. Deuce. Look, Embiid's an all-time great player. All-time great player. And he's going to come back. And he's going to put his imprint on this series.
And he's going to have some all-time great nightmares about Mitchell Robinson tonight. I got you, Brando. Don't worry, I got you.
I have nothing to add. I'm just going to read a great tweet, great stat, actually, from DJ Zulo, who's been awesome all night. Knicks tonight, from the corners. This is wild. Again, it's just like the night of crazy stats. That from the corners, the Knicks were 0-9 tonight. They did not make a corner three all night long. Above the break, the Knicks were 16-for-26. That's like, it's insane. They were 16-for-26 at above the break threes. Brad Zempar. Not first time, long time, more like second or third, but I watch nightly and I love all the KFS content. Thank you. All the one-on-one drives tonight they gave up concern me. Why no help defense? Because I think when you didn't see the help, first of all, it was just Maxi. And Maxi is an incredibly tough cover. And I thought on a lot of those drives, there was somebody there. Like there was a low man. It was actually Josh Hart quite a few times. And I did not think his low man defense was particularly good tonight. But Maxi is so fast and so skilled that it didn't matter. And like, again, not every time, but a lot of the times there was help there and the help just didn't matter. Because again, I mean, you saw Maxi the one time he put up like an up and under, which was crazy. We've said it before. He is a guy that will probably finish in the top 20 in all NBA voting. He's an exceptional player. And that is his most exceptional skill. As far as not letting him get the head of steam initially, that's where Embiid comes into play. That's where Embiid comes into play. Because if you commit that much to Maxi, you'll be, if because you're either going to, you have to commit from somewhere. So if you're committing off of Embiid, you're giving Maxey the opportunity to pass to Embiid and giving Embiid that wide open 14 or 16 or 18 footer that he has been draining this year like it's nothing. Or you're going to give their three-point shooters open looks. And by the way, they helped a lot off of those three-point shooters tonight. And where do you think a lot of those open threes came from? It came up from, again, trying to make sure that the Maxey Embiid pick and roll didn't get started. What your comment really highlights is the fact that this Sixers offense doesn't really have any weak spots. When you have a big, small pick and roll combination like Embiid and Maxey, which it's either them or Jokic Murray, it's the best big, small pick and roll combination in the league. And then you surround them with guys who can make shots or make plays. It's like you can't stop that offense. And there were times when they looked pretty unstoppable tonight. And so, to your comment, my main thing that I'm going to say is 104 points. The Knicks gave up tonight. 104 points. Should that number probably have been a little higher? You figure some better three-point shooting from Philadelphia? Sure. It should have been. But as far as like how they defended and what they took away and what they made hard for Philly, like you cannot ask the Knicks to do a better job than they did tonight. You really can't. I thought they defended exceptionally well. Thank you, Brad. Ray with another one. Give Tibbs his flowers, pushed all the right buttons. I mean, he stuck with the group for the third quarter as that, when he stuck with that lineup for a while and it had the Knicks down, I forget what the hell they were down by. They were down by a few points. And it was tense. But yeah, no, I was like, they were down by six. I think he was holding off on Deuce because I think he knew he was going to leave Deuce in the rest of the game. It's my gut feeling. Now, Deuce has played 48 minutes. So like that dude doesn't get tired, but I think that you want to get me to say Tibbs coached a good game. Yeah. Jordan Jackman, what's going on, Jordan? Mitch has always been able to guard Embiid. I've been saying this for years. Go back and watch the games. I've watched all of them, man. I've watched all of them. Even the early years when the Knicks stunk. I thought Mitch was always up for the challenge. I thought Embiid got him in foul trouble a couple of times from what I recall in the early years. I thought Mitch always made his life difficult. That's the big thing, right? Is like, you can't let Embiid get into a groove where he just feels like this is easy. This is practice. These are practice shots. And I feel like Mitch always did enough for Embiid. Again, Embiid had to work. Now, one of the keys moving forward is how often the Knicks will double when the Sixers don't get the switch. When the Sixers get the switch, the Knicks are going to double, and then they're going to have to recover, which is why it's so vital for them to not give up the switch. They're going to try not to give up the switch as much as they can. And I thought for the most part, they did a very nice job tonight of not giving up the switch initially. Will they double it all when they don't give up the switch? I don't think that they should. The one exception, and you saw it a few times tonight, is in late clock situations, which they try to, talk about a chess match. That's a chess match playing right there out on the court for you. When the Knicks on that, what was that possession where they sent the double at like, it was like under 4 seconds they sent the double. And it was enough. And it was not only that, Embiid made the pass, and I think it was to Oubre. They had someone there. It was a 2-on-1. It was Hart, I think, that had the two low men at once. That was what you had to give up to send the double. And Hart was kind of there, but Embiid made the pass, and the pass was pinpoint, and Oubre just converted. Like, he's so good. Embiid just is so good, but which is why, to your point, having a guy like Mitch who feels confident in that matchup, it's so important. It's so vital. Thank you, Jordan. Hush Zoo. I'll eat crow. This is why Josh Hart got his money. Well, I think there's a lot of people probably eating a little crow tonight, or at least they should be. I commented in my newsletter yesterday. Got out of my soapbox a little bit. There was a little bit of get off my lawn energy in one of my responses to a newsletter question, in which I was like, because I got a couple of questions where it's like, well, you know, will he take Josh Hart out if he's not hitting shots? And like, who are we going to put in for him? And how quickly can we get him out of there? Like all these different versions of the same thing. I'm like, man, we've watched the same guy, right? This year, the guy who saved the Knicks' ass time and time and time and time and time again over the last 3 months. This is who Josh Hart is. This is what he does. And the coach knows it. So he leaves him out there.
What do you mean? Wait, like old man yelled at clouds energy? You have that?
It's so rare as to almost be inconsequential. Yes.
I've literally never seen that side of you. Quite literally. You're young at heart. Oh, see, young at heart. Josh Hart. That worked perfect.
Young at heart turns 41 in 20 days.
Could have told me it was your 21st birthday for the 20th time, John, and I believe it.
That's why I love you, Andrew. Oh, Andrew Claudia with a super chat. How crazy is being a super chat from the producer's chair. Buddy of mine texted me in the first quarter. The series is over. I have to say, I agree. Hashtag Knicks in five. Again, fire that person into the sun. Knicks in five. Are you picked Knicks in seven before the series?
I did.
Are you sticking?
And then I watched Joel Embiid limp around for two quarters. I remember what the caveat to my Knicks in seven was. It was projecting the health of Joel Embiid for the rest of the series to get better. And he left in the second quarter with an injury. It reminded me a lot of Jimmy Butler last year, where the Heat were just like, get through this game with a W and we'll sit him game two. Yeah. That's why I think this is a devastating loss for the Sixers.
Let's see if he comes out for game two. And if he doesn't, let's see if the Knicks can take advantage.
Bingo.
Thanks, Andrew. Tom Cappuccini. Oh, Tom was in his black hoodie earlier today. Every time the Knicks are on the ropes and the most faithful viewers start to wonder if they got one more punch left in them, they come back and they show they have three punches left. What a team. Can't wait for Monday. Dom, I say it repeatedly. You are the epitome of what a fan should be. You are nervous like I am. You're very nervous. You respect the opposition and you believe and you appreciate what they are and what they're capable of doing. Yeah, this has been who they are. I mean, don't get me wrong. When they were down six in the third quarter, I was nervous. I was nervous. But they got it done. Thank you, Dom. Hush Zoo, do we like OG on Maxi? I do like it. I do like it. I like it. I think OG should be on Maxi when they start out the game. I think that's a good matchup. Like you could switch him onto Embiid. You know, the only problem, I guess, and I wonder if this is a factor, is OG got in foul trouble tonight. And if you don't have him on Maxi, I think it keeps him out of foul trouble. Now, the alternative is you have DiVincenzo on Maxi. And if you have DiVincenzo on Maxi, you are essentially, you're kind of conceding more Maxi drives, but I feel like with the screening they're doing, you're kind of conceding that anyway. And if you have OG off the ball, you're allowing obviously OG to help. Now, the tough part, just two things. One, DiVincenzo has been great at playing defense from behind this year, where he gets beat. He's never really beat, and he's able to like poke the ball away or affect a shot attempt. Like, by the way, how many times, that's the other thing tonight, man. How many times Jalen Brunson have the sort of shot attempts that he's had all year that have been good shot attempts and he got blocked from behind? I feel like he got blocked from behind more tonight than in any other game this year. That was a big deal, the block from behind for him. Maxey, though, Maxey's not like Brunson. Maxey is a much, obviously, he's a speed demon. So is DiVincenzo going to be able to do that with any consistent way, affect the play still from behind? I don't know. And then in terms of OG helping off, OG not being on Maxey and being on another assignment and helping on the Maxey drives, or for that matter, helping on you know, Embiid rolls or whatever. If it's Maxey, he's so freaking fast. That's the tough part about Maxey, is it's like once he gets that head of steam, he's kind of impossible to stop. So I don't know. I don't know. I'd mix it up. Vary your coverages. That's what I do.
What's up, Knicks fans? Hopefully by now you've heard about T-Squared Social, your new home for Knicks Film School watch parties. The next one on Sunday, April 28th for Game 4 of the Knicks first round series against the Sixers. Founded by Tiger Woods and Justin Timberlake, this place has everything for a sports fan. Watch the entire Knicks, Rangers, and Islanders playoff runs or other sporting events like the Red Hot Mets and Yankees or other NBA playoff games. T-Squared also wants you to know that even when KFS isn't there, you could still join them to watch all Knicks playoff games from a private viewing area that features the largest screen in New York City, or reserve a table, grab a drink, and order a delicious meal while surrounded by their several dozen TV screens. Take this Thursday, for example. The Knicks play Game 3, the Yankees play the Athletics, the Islanders play the Hurricanes, and it's the NFL Draft. If you're a Knicks fan but also want to multitask, T-Squared will make sure you don't miss a meaningful minute of the action. T-Squared Social, your number one place to watch the next big Knicks game. Get a free draft beer when you tell them Knicks Film School sent you. Visit tsquaredsocial.com for more information.
Thanks again, Dom, for another one. Deuce and Mitch may turn out to be the biggest X factors if they win this. I can't be any prouder writing this. Bogey sighting was a blessing. I hope Dante can burn the Sixers in the series. Yeah, like, again, I think Dante, it was more the defensive part that Tibbs took him off and put Deuce on him instead. Because, like, Dante tonight, he was 2 of 5 from deep. Like, if anything, you're going to criticize him. He didn't take more threes. But I thought he was selective in his threes. I thought he could have fired away probably a couple times and he didn't. Dante needs to be better than 1 of 5 from inside the arc. That has to improve. Those were good looks. Those were all good looks. And he made one of them. So he has to be better. That's it. Dante has to be better. I'm not worried about 3-point shooting. 2 of 5 is fine. That ratio is fine. Hush Zoo. Add Deuce to the list of young players that developed under us. Those detractors who said the Knicks are where careers go to die can go suck it. We are here. Detroit immensely valued Grimes in that trade, considering they traded 2 rotation players for him and didn't get a first round pick. So they valued Grimes a lot. The Raptors, needless to say, valued Emmanuel Quickly a ton. RJ, whether you think he is, whatever you think about RJ, you can't call that like a development story because he was a 3rd pick in the draft. But Grimes, Quickly, Deuce, Mitch, you know, Obi, a little bit. And the last thing I want to say on that note is it's not just players they drafted. Go look at, again, I've shouted it out a couple times now, Michael Scotto's article in Hoopsype on Isaiah Hartenstein, and go read what he talks about in terms of Tom Thibodeau. Go read Jalen Brunson's words about Tom Thibodeau and playing under Tibbs. Players who care about the right things know they're going to come here and get better. That's the thing. Thanks, Hush. Ben Kim Gerby. Say it with me, John. Storybook season. Hashtag third act now. I hope you're right. It was certainly a storybook game one, but they got to do a lot more to win the series, and then the fun will start. Thanks, Ben. Appreciate you as always. Christopher Halecki. What's going on, Chris? It seemed like the starters were very tight and almost overthinking it. Deuce just came out firing. Boyan Bogdanovich did the same, and at the end, so did Hart. Yeah, I mean, the bench won the game, you know? Hart hit the big threes in the fourth quarter, but plus 37, plus 27, and then Mitchell Robinson plus 20. Like, again, plus 37, plus 27, plus 20. Those are what your three bench players did tonight. We haven't seen that from this Knicks team since, I don't know. Like, that's last year's team, not this year's team. And thank God the bench saved their bacon tonight. Thanks, Chris. Greg Film Stuff. What's going on, Greg? Thank you for the very generous contribution. New York gave me chest pains all fourth quarter. I completely agree. It was a dicey fourth. It was not their most well-executed fourth. The turnover. Oh, my God. That freaking turnover. The turnover where it was like, There were two terrible turnovers. There was the Brunson turnover. I mean, Brunson was rough tonight. That led to the Oubre fast break, and I forget who actually finished the bucket, but whatever. And then when did Hart inbound the ball? He was trying to inbound. He tried to go to DiVincenzo and then didn't connect, and that was a fast break. I mean, it's... They overcame some slumps, some stuff, but they also made big shots, so it's okay. Alex, what's going on? Other Alex, relishing this win on vacation in Hilton Head. Oh, have fun watching Scotty crush another PGA tournament. I actually did watch a little bit of the Masters on Saturday. I watched a little Saturday Masters, and it's the first golf I've watched in probably a year. He's good. He's a good player. Deuce taking on the IQ role of home ground fan fave. JB always bounces back. I bet he scores over 40 in game two. I hope he doesn't need to score 40 in game two, because that would mean I hope he just should play within the offense. Take what the defense has given you. Make the right reads. It's all that matters. Thanks, Alex.
But by all means, if you'd like to score 40 points in game two, Jalen Brunson, please score 40 points in a blowout win in game two.
Just don't have any more games like this.
Cosign.
That's all. Greg Garcia, thank you for the contribution. Busy. Haven't heard any bogey love. The floor is yours. Some people have given it to him.
Bro, this was sent at 9:46 p.m. Like, this was hours ago. Then bogey started getting love. Don't worry.
No, but thank you, Busy, because the guy's gotten so maligned. He's gotten killed. Not as much as Alec Burks, but he doesn't deserve it like Alec Burks. Like, to come in and take those, like, the dude just without hesitation entered the game and, like, fired away. And momentum, you want to talk about pressure? Fucking place that was, they weren't maybe quiet, but like the air was out of the balloon. Bogey put the air back in the balloon. Like he put the air back in the balloon at the top of the second quarter. Just the honorable mention of all honorable mentions tonight. He'll get, he's not getting a star of the game, that, you know, who the top three guys, they get that, but Bogey's right there with OG Anunoby, by the way. The two of them needed everybody. Thank you, Busy. Dom Cappuccini. I am very thankful that Embiid didn't have that emotional Willis Reed impact in the second half. Granted, Lowry had a lot to do with nearly stealing it. I'll take my chances with JB in game two. We're all taking our chances with JB in game two. I mean, if somebody would have, here's another one. If somebody would have told you that Kyle Lowry outplayed Jalen Brunson in game one, what would you have said? How would you have said this game was going to go? And Embiid and Maxi Edgar games. How would you have said this game is going to go? As far as the Willis Reed impact, I mean, it was a 20 point turnaround. I think you could argue. I don't know, Dom. I think you could argue he had a pretty big impact, and the Knicks just withstood it. You know, the Knicks just withstood it. Thank you, Dom, as always. Brendan Cooney, what's going on, Brendan? Can't decide if I'm more ecstatic we got the W despite Brunson's outlier of a poor game, or more worried because the Sixers did legit guard him well, and he didn't have good numbers versus the Sixers this year. I completely hear what you're saying. I was very worried about... I'm not very worried. I was worried about the matchup, right? I was worried about the matchup for the reasons that I talked to with DJ and Benji about. Length bothers him. You know, length bothers him. The thing that I'm hopeful about is, again, I want to rewatch all of his shot attempts. I really did think he started to find some answers in the third quarter as far as getting where he wanted to go and figuring out how to get, whether it was Oubre on him, off of him, you know, or whoever he, like, getting the matchups that he wanted. I just thought he was missing good looks. I want to go back and rewatch them. I thought he just missed some good looks, but we'll see. I want to go back and rewatch, but I that's very valid. I think they have as good an answer for Brunson as probably any East playoff team outside of, you know, maybe Boston. Thanks, Brendan. Daniel Wasserback the third. Thank you very much, Daniel, for the generous contribution. Knicks Film School and John Macri, long overdue super chat from Albany. Oh, okay. I've been to Albany in a few years. Enjoyed my time there when I was there a long time ago with my wife. Or was that maybe Troy? I forget if it was in Troy or Albany. I had a place that served these little hot dogs, little mini hot dogs. Maybe you know what I'm talking about. Two words, Josh Hart. Thanks for the post-game podcast I listened to at work the next day. Well, I appreciate that, Daniel. Thank you for chiming in and contributing and showing your generosity. Josh Hart. Gotta have it. And if you don't have it, you're screwed. We had it. Sixers didn't. That's all that matters. Thank you so much, Daniel. Cohen Gialli Brosnan. Thank you for another super chat here. Didn't foul Mitch in the bonus. My boy's deadly from free throw.
Saying don't foul Mitch in the bonus.
Don't foul Mitch in the bonus. Yes, I got it. Big free throws, right? And after he hit, who were the big free throws against down the stretch of the season in the game?
That would be the little brother,
Brooklyn Nets. Yeah. That's right. I thought so. That's big for Mitch. That's big. That's big for his mental, as he would say. Thanks, Colin. Brendan with another one. 21-3 with OG. Takes four losses to lose a series, so we're okay. I'm there's part of me that wishes that stat didn't exist. Not that I don't love OG Anunoby. I do. He's incredible, and I'm beyond happy he's on our team. You know, but it does, it to me, it instills like kind of a false sense of security that, like, oh, it's all right. We have OG Anunoby. We'll be fine. As you just said yourself, Brendan, like the Sixers team has some answers for the Knicks. OG is a really nice trump card to have on the defensive end, and the fact that he could make, you know, arguably the biggest three of the game. And by the way, that wasn't all he did. I thought OG hit, I had a couple of nice drives in this game, really nice drives with big time finishes. Where I, there was the one that he went for it with Embiid where he didn't get, but there were the, all the other ones where he drove hard to the basket, worked out well for him. I love it when he puts the ball on the floor and goes to the rim and he could get a little bit of a head of steam, because that dude is a, he's a, you know what? Thanks, Brandon.